Good morning. All right. There comes a time in every series of shiurim that we have to become really serious, and today is the day that we become serious with text. We have to try to go through a chapter in Shiras Shirim and get a feeling of Shiras Shirim. I hope to be able to do a few chapters before this series is over. But you know, my best intentions, I may not necessarily succeed. You know, I get locked into something and who knows what will happen. But let's go. We're going to do the psukim with the Rashi. I didn't give you an English translation with it because I haven't found an English translation that I like. The only one I like is the one that I'll say. And maybe one of these days I'll just write up a simple translation. Shir Hashirim Asher Lishlomo, the Song of Songs. Asher Lishlomo, that was written by Shlomo. And here, this passage we already learned, Yishateini min shitos pihu, ki tovim dodecho miyoyin. Yishateini min shitos pihu. The girl, the woman says, if only he would kiss me with the kiss of his mouth. Ki tovim dodecho miyoyin dodecho, because your love is better, more joyous to me than yayin, wine. And wine over here does not mean the beverage wine. Yayin is a term that's used in Tanakh to mean a joyous and festive occasion. Any kind of festivity. It represents joy, happiness, exhilaration. Your love is better for me than wine. And Rashi? Let's run through the Rashi again. There it is on the first page, Pasuk Bet, down at the bottom, Yishateini min shitos pihu, and here Rashi is beginning, and we will see in a number of Rashis in this chapter, where he brings us back to his introduction. And here he says on this Pasuk, Zeh Hashir Omeret Befiah, Begaluta Ubealmanuta. This song she says with her mouth when she is in exile, in her widowhood, separated from her lover. And the lover, of course, is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. As Rashi had explained, that this whole song represents a woman, which is Klal Yisrael, out off in exile, distant from God, looking back to the early days, about how beautiful things were when we were close to one another. She looks back with longing, if only he would kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Me ten, if only be Shakeni Amelav Shlomo, me Nishikos Pihu Kamomios. If only King Shlomo, and Hamelach Shlomo, of course, we already know the code. Hamelach Shlomo means God. If only God would kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So Rashi goes on to say, because there are places, there are places where one kisses on the hand, or on the shoulder. I desire and long that he should conduct himself with me as he did at first. Like a chosan to a kala, pale. Ki tovin li dodecha, because your love is better to me, mikol mishtayayin, from any festivity of wine, umikol oneg v'simcha, the closest to you is greater to me, gives me more joy than any other delight or happiness. Then Rashi goes on to say that the word yayin, this is where we establish that the word yayin is a word that means far, far more than just that beverage called wine. Yayin, by extension, in Tanakh means joyous and festive occasion. Ulshon Ivrihu, in Hebrew, liot kol sudat oneg v'simcha. Any festivity of joy and happiness is called by the name wine. as it says that by Esther, Beit Mishte Hayayin, Bashir Lo Yishtu Yayin, Vahoyoch Chinor, Vanevel, Vatov, Vachalil, Vayayin, Mishte Yishayahu describes the Bachnalian festivities, the festivities of with a harp and the lyre and the drum, the chalil, chalil is the flute, and wine was their parties. Zehu beyom hashmo. Now this is what here Rashi establishes the pattern that will go on either pasuk by pasuk or every few psukim. Rashi will always bring you back from the text to the allegory. What does it represent? Because the fact is, what it represents is far, far more significant than the simple meaning of the text. And the word that he uses is dugma. Dugma, this is a sample or an allegory. V'nema dugma shelo al shem shenatan lahem Torato. God gave his Torah. V'dibeh imahem, he spoke with the Jewish people face to face. The only people who stood at the foothills of Sinai and heard God in that communication, face to face, mouth to mouth. We long and look back with great yearning to those days. Votam Dodin, that period of love. Oda Marev Malim is still sweet to them. Mikol Shashua, for any joy, greater than any joy. Umuftachen Mito, he's promised us. We are guaranteed Lahufia Odalehem, that God is going to appear to them again, and he is going to explain to them and clarify to them the secrets of Torah. So Tameha Umistor Tunateha Umichalim Panav, and what the girl, the woman, Klal Yisrael is doing in this song is that we are praying before him, Lekayim Dvaro, that he should fulfill his word. That's the meaning of Yishakeni Minishikos Pihu. I have a feeling Rashi repeats this. That is the meaning of he shall kiss me with the kiss of his lips. You know, what was he doing in the whole Rashi? He was only explaining Yishakeni Minishikos Pihu. But you know what he wants to tell you? Make no mistake. We're not talking about flesh and blood kisses of Chasen and Kala. That is the meaning of Yishakeni Mishikas Puyipil. A relationship, that original relationship that existed between God and the Jewish people. L'reach shmonecho tovim shemen turak shmecho. Let me explain this. Reach means the scent. Shmonecho, oils. We're talking about, when we talk about oils, We're not talking about canola or the kind of stuff you put in cars. The oils that we talk about over here are scented oils with exceptional fragrance. L'reach shmonecho tovim. You know how it really should be read? Tovim, very good, are the scent of your oils. Very good are the scent of your oils. What's the scent of oils mean? So the next phrase explains it. Shemen Turak Shemecha. Your name, the name of God, is oil that has been poured. Shemecha, your name, Shemen Turak is oil that has been poured. And Rashi is going to explain, as long as you have this great fragrant oil in a jar, nobody can smell it, nobody can perceive or feel its scent. What happens when you open up the box? Oy vey. Out comes this tremendous, powerful, and beautiful scent. Your name, God, is like oil that has been poured. And out goes your name throughout the world. And the last phrase in this pasuk, and by the way, the pasuk is on the other side, and we have to come back to the Rashi. L'deach, shmonecha tovim, shemen turak shemecha. Our kings, therefore, alamot ahevucha. That's why the girls, the women, loved you. Now back to the Rashi on the first page. Shem tov nikra al shem shemen tov. The way to describe a good name, the term is good scented oil. It's something that spreads. It spreads and it spreads joy. L'reach shmanecha tovim shehelicha behem afsei oretz, that very ends of the earth smelled it. I'm on the first page. The Rashi down at the bottom. Shehelicha behem afsei oretz, the ends of the earth were able to perceive that scent. Ashesh sham ushim akhatov, they heard the good news. Va'sochal noraot b'mitzchayim, when you did the awesome things in Egypt. Here he's beginning to tell the story of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. That first great expression of love begins where? Begins in Egypt. God comes down to Egypt and he's going to take his people out. That's the beginning of Jewish history, in the sense that it's the beginning of a relationship, the open, perceived relationship between God and the Jewish people, that a whole world is aware of it. And through Shir HaShirim, we're going to go all the way through to the period of Bayit Sheni. We can get a history of Klal Yisrael expressed in terms of the power and the waning of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. And here, the first time a world experiences the greatness of God is when he comes to Mitzrayim on behalf of his people. It's like the cork is taken off the bottle of the oil that is full of powerful scent, and it starts wafting through the world. Shemen Turak Nikra Shemecha. Your name is called oil that has been poured. Li Yavnemar Alecho, that it is said about you, Atar. Back of the first side. Right up over here, Atar. Atar Shemen Asher Turak Tamid. You are oil that is constantly poured. Li Yot Reach Orev Shelcho Yotzei Lemeirachok. That the sweet scent of yours goes out to the distances. Shekain derech shemen orev. That's the way of oil that is orev. Orev means that it is sweet. Bechol etu b'tzlochim hatzuna, as long as it's in the bottle and the bottle is closed. Ein reichol nodeif. Nobody smells the scent. Oh, potcha, you open the bottle. Umedik shamal kliacher, and you pour this scent, this oil, into another vessel. Reichon odei. All of a sudden, people begin to pick it up. Out came, therefore, when that bottle was open, and the world became aware of your profound love for your people. That's us. Out came alamot ahivucha. Therefore, the girls loved you. The alamot over here, Rashi says, the nations of the world, ba Yitro, along came Yitro, lekol hashmua, he heard, he smelled the scent, he understood what was taking place, and therefore he converts. And Rachav hazona amra, Rachav the zona said, ki shaman with Hashem, hovish Hashem, we heard that God had dried up the Yamsuf before you, by Yidei Cain, and therefore, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokim B'Shamayim Imal V'Alorim Mitachos, your God is the God in heaven above and in earth below. By the way, here I have to go off a bit on a tangent. That happens to be the Haftorah of this coming week. It's Parsha Shlach, most tragic Parsha in Torah, and the Haftorah is going to be the second chapter of Yahushua. The second chapter of Yahushua is already 38 years after Parshat Shlach. Moshe had already passed away. It's toward the end of the 30 days of mourning for Moshe. God appears to Yahushua and he tells him, we're crossing the Jordan, and Yahushua sends two spies, in secret, in silence, and he sends them with a real good cover. These fellas are people who sell pottery, and they come clanging with their pottery to Jericho, and the city of Jericho is completely locked shut, because they know already in Eretz Canaan that the Jewish people are poised by the Jordan, ready for the thrust into Eretz Israel. I've always described the two great spies, Kalev ben Yefune and Pinchas, you understand. These spies never had to come in from the cold. They were found out instantly. This is the most hapless, greatest failure of two spies. They arrive one night in Jericho, and the next passage says, right at the beginning of the Torah, Vayugad lemelech Jericho lemo, the king of Jericho was told, there are Jews in the city. Not one, there are two Jews in the city. This is already something to be terribly frightened of. They come to the house of Rachav. Rachav covers for her. The poor gracious spies, you understand, she has to cover them up with flax on the roof, like a shandan achar, you understand. The two Kalev ben Yefune and Pinchas, who's supposed to be Eliyahu, they need Rachav Agona to cover for her. She lies, and she says that they've already left the city. They're on their way to the Yarden. Hurry, you will catch them. And then she goes up and speaks to them, and she says, We heard what your God did in Mitzrayim and at the Yamsur. We heard it all. And we are terrified and we tremble before him. By the way, she is describing to them, this is a goyite. She is describing to them events that took place 40 years earlier. And she makes the great deal with them. She'll protect them, she'll get them out of the city, but when they march into the city, they should save her family. So I tell you, it just happened like that. I'm reading this book, and before I get into the book, I get to the first page. And there's a statement on the first page from Heraclitus, 500 BC. You don't have to know who Heraclitus was. He was in the time of Socrates. I was able to find out from the internet. He was one of the Greek Gedolim. And Heraclitus said the following: the unapparent connection is more powerful than the apparent. I look at it, I'm like, no. I show this word to my wife, so she says, that's your whole shita in Haftorahs. I've given a few years of shiurim in Haftorahs. And one of the things that I've always said is, you take a look at Haftorah, what's the connection between the Sefer and Haftorah? Everybody will always cite the most apparent connection. Yeah, exactly. As in this week's Sedra. In the Sedra, Moshe sends Meraglim, and in the Haftorah, Yahushua sends Meraglim. Meraglim here, Meraglim there. You have yourself a Haftorah, ready night. I'm not going to go into last week's Haftorah, which was from Sefer Zechariah, that mentions the menorah, and the beginning of Balozcha is the menorah. Menorah there, menorah there, you got yourself out Torah. All wrong. The moment you have the apparent connection, do you know what you have to go for? You have to go for the unapparent connection. Because as Heraclitus, echoing gold, Heraclitus said that the unapparent connection is more powerful than the apparent. In the Haftorah, that's what Rashi is saying. Do you know what the connection between the Haftarah and the Seder is? The connection is not because there were Meraglim there and Meraglim here, even though that's a fascinating study, and the Malbim really makes the study of the comparisons and the differences between the Meraglim that are sent by Yoshua and those that are sent by Moshe. The names aren't revealed, it's done in silence. They're not sent to find out if the land is nice or not. But anyway, they're failures. They're abject, absolute failures. The most, probably the worst failures in the history of spydom, you understand. You couldn't write a novel about Yehoshua and Kodesh, you understand. You know what the Haftarah is all about? A Gentile woman who most probably worshipped idols her whole life and speaks not merely like a Chumayidiner. She never set foot in Beis Yankiv. She never went to Stern College. But do you know what this Rachel sees with absolute clarity? The greatness of a Rabbeinu Shlomo. If only our 10 Meraglim who were sent to Moshe would have been able to see the reality of God's relationship with the Jewish people with such simple yet profound clarity that this woman, Rachel, has. That's what our Torah is all about. Not Meraglim here, Meraglim there. What's Rashi saying? Al-Kain Al-Lamos Ahivucha. The girls, the nations of the world, those who have the ability to see, a Yitro who can see, a Rahab who can see the truth. And sometimes, you know, you have to feel bad that there are things that we cannot see, and there are others who can see it with greater clarity than we do. That's what the story is. And by the way, I think I once explained, the Gemara is going to tell us that Yehoshua ben Nun is going to marry Rachav. He's going to marry Rachav. And the Gemara lists prophets and prophetesses that were the descendants of Rachav and Yehoshua. And I believe that God is repaying her midah k'neged midah, measure for measure. She had such clarity of vision. She has children who are going to be prophets and will be able to see the secrets of God. They will be able to receive the word of the Rebbeinu. That's, hold on, here comes from her. Yirmiyahu comes from Yahushua and the whole list of others who come from the Torah. The unapparent connection is more powerful than the apparent. So I say that is our approach to an understanding of the Haftarahs, and that, of course, I just threw in, you know, derech agav parenthetically, but that's really what Rashi is saying. Rashi is telling us, Al kein alamos ahevucha. Take a look at what Rachav was able to see. And it's 40 years after the events, and the events are as clear in her mind. I just said it. To what extent are the events of 40 years ago in Eretz Yisrael clear to the people of this country? We need Michael Oren this morning in the Jerusalem Post to tell us, do you know that Israel was in great danger 40 years ago before the Six Day War? Folk at both. They discovered America. We all knew it. We all knew it. But there's a whole people out there that don't see it. Our own people living here don't see it. No, we were powerful, we were strong, we knew we'd set the kishkas out of them. The whole purpose of it was in order to expand our borders, become occupiers among a bunch of Genghis Khans over here. Shomu shomayim alzos. The shkogim. I don't know, the moment I said the word 40 years, it just triggered everything. This wasn't planned. You know that I've been so docile and quiet lately. 40 years, and today is what I don't understand. By the way, what I don't understand, why in heaven's name in the Yiddish Medina all the articles about the Six-Day War are according to the Koyish calendar. I can't for the life of me understand that. All of these events took place in Iyar, not in Sivan. I mean, the war started June 5th, 1967, or it started Chafei Iyar. Yom Yerushalayim was June 8th. It was Chafei Iyar. I don't understand. I even got a little upset if you get the English Mishpacha magazine. This week they have major articles on the Six-Day War. So, you know, for me and Haranov, my Makolet is a battleground. I meet the editor of the Mishpacha in my Makolet. You know, he's looking for a bag of milk and I'm looking for my daily bread. And I say, what did you do over there? What did you do? You're a bunch of goyim or you're eating? This is the week that you mark the Six-Day War? I thought it was in Iyar. Maybe that's why you guys don't know about Chof Ches Iyar, Yom Yerushalayim, you understand? You know what? He said you have a good point. That's one point for gold, you understand? After all these years, I got one point. But he said you should know that the articles in this week's English Mishpacha are translations of articles that appeared in the Hebrew 3 weeks ago. In the Hebrew 3 weeks ago, it was at the right time, but till they got around to translating it already. Okay, I accepted the excuse because it was time to check out of the Makolet, so. But do you understand what Rashi is saying? For this woman, Rachav, to be able to see with such clarity the events of 40 years earlier, and they were events that didn't affect her personally then, how are we supposed to feel 40 years later? Has anybody talked us into it? We don't remember the fear that gripped the Jewish people? And so were you living on Digby then? You were living on Digby. We had a number of meetings in the shack. I was rabbi of the shack. There was a famous shack in Toronto, and Ansel Rosenblum and his wife were back there from Toronto. They were we weren't neighbors yet, but they were members of the shul. What are you talking about? We had meetings to raise money. There was a terrible fear. I remember one of the great stories in Canada then. That some fellow wants to borrow a few $1,000 from his bank manager because that bank said, well, what do you want for? He says, I want to give it to Israel. I want to give it to Israel. The outpouring of money was unbelievable. So he says, you know, we don't give. We don't give loans so you can give charity. So he says, no, this is a home improvement And he got the loan. He got the loan. Rachav Hazona sees with clarity. Al kein alamos ahevucha. Therefore, the girls loved you because they saw a Yitro and a Rachav. They saw, and that's the Haftorah. The Haftorah is not miraculum here, miraculum there. The Haftorah is the ability to be able to see with clarity. And for whatever reason, and there may be many of them, the Meraglim were not able to see with clarity. The Meraglim were simply too involved in concern about their own future. Unfortunately, that's what the Arizal said. They saw themselves, the Arizal says that the Meraglim saw themselves as leaders in the desert, but they didn't see themselves as leaders of a new brave people in a world called Eretz Yisrael.
They
like
their
bank of Venice. Oh, now, you know, I didn't get political in that. You know, you're getting political. She said they like their bank then as they love them today. If you get there's some new Torah pamphlet that's given out in the shuls, if you get one this week called Shiur Times, I have an article there on a Rashi in Parashat Shlach. And if you don't, someday I'll tell you next week. That's alright, I'll find a Rashi here to put it into, don't worry. Okay, Alamos, Rashi says, Alamos Besulos, the girls, the young girls, because the comparison or the likeness created over here in Shir HaShirim is about a young man who loves his beloved. So who else comes into the picture? There are other young girls. Who are the other young girls? The Rashi says, well, if he had dogma, the allegory, ha'alamot hein ha'umot, the girls, nations of the world. That everything fits in. Next pasuk, great pasuk Dalit, Moshcheini acharecha narutza, draw me unto you, and acharecha narutza, we will run after you, we will follow you. This is the girl saying it. And you know what happened? Hevi ani hamelech chador of, the king brought me into his inner chambers. Nagilah v'nisnecha bach, we will be full of joy and happiness in you. And the pasuk ends after that, nazkira dodecha miyoy, we will remember your love more than all the great joys. Remember, the word yayin is a word that describes great joy. Meisharim aheivucha, our love for you is yashar, it's sincere, it's straight, it's clear. Moshcheini, Rashi says, Moshcheini acharecha narutza, ani shamati mishluchecho remez, I heard some kind of a hint from your messengers. Chiba, we heard a message of love. That you said that you want to draw us unto you. They're getting word that a Yitzias Mitzchayim is coming, the Exodus. That you said you want to draw me. And you know what I said when I heard that? We're going to follow you. We're going to run after you. Liot l'chali isha, to be your wife. And the king brought me into his inner chambers. Rashi is taking us back again to his introduction. Today as well. Odenoli gila the simchit, still joy and happiness to me. Hashem nidbakti bach, that I cleaved unto you, I clung unto you. Now zkira dodecha. Gam Hayom, we remember the love. Gam hayom ba'almanut chayuti, when I am this living widow. Tomid azkir dodecha hodishonim, I always remember that first love. Mikol mishtas oneg v'simcha, greater than any delight and joy. Meishonim ayivucha, my love was a sincere one. Ava aza, mighty love, avat mishor, an ava that is straight. As Rashi is going to say, dli akiva urechasim, without valleys or ridges or crooked ways. And Rashi is taking this from a pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu says that Jews are going to be brought back miraculously by God to Eretz Yisrael, v'haya ha'ekov l'mishar, that which is hilly is going to be a plain, v'har hasim, and the mountain ranges will become bikar, valleys. In other words, Jews will be able to make their way back with comparative ease. What this love that was so straight and so right and so correct, and said, "Ahivucha nivavotai baltanayanim," that I and my fathers loved you in those days, those early days. Zeupshuto lefiyano. Rashi has explained the simple meaning of the pasuk within the context of this love between the girl and her lover. Ulfitukmasa, Rashi now comes to the allegory. Hey, Maskinim Lepanov, you know what? Klal Yisrael is reminding God of Chesed, Ni'ulim, Ahavat, Kelulov, Klulot, Lechtam, Acharav, Bamidbar. Rashi is paraphrasing the famous pasuk in Yirmiyahu. God says about her, Zacharti Lach Chesed Miurayach, I remember the kindness of your youth. Ahabat Kulotayach, the love of the Chuppah. Lech Peich Acharai Bamidbar, that you followed me into the desert, the Eretz Lo Zerua, a land that is not planted. So over here, she says, Mashcheni, I heard that you want to take me out. Acharech on the Rutsa, I'm going out after you. And she's reminding him of the kindness of her youth, the love of the chuppah. Lechtam acharab and midbar, they went after him into the desert, and it's tziyavit salmavet, a land that's dry, the shadow of death. V'kam tzeda lo asulhem, they didn't even make provisions for the road. V'heminu bo b'shlucha, they believed him and his messenger. Vayaminu v'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo, they believed in God and Moshe's servant. V'lo amru, when they didn't say, heich neitzei lamidbar, how are we going to go out into the desert? V'hu hevi'am, the king brought them, hevi'ani amelech hadorov, into his room. What does his room represent? He covers them with a cloud of glory. He covers them within the rooms that are covered by his cloud. About that period of time, even today, they are full of joy and happiness in him. Though right now they are in great poverty and in great travail, she is out in Golos, in exile somewhere, and she's downtrodden, and she's looking back with longing with those great days of yesteryear. Mishtashin! So where is their joy? Where is their joy? How can they recreate that great relationship of love that they had with God? Umishtashin Batorah. Their happiness is in Torah. The Shomas Kidin Dodav Miyayin, and in their study of Torah and keeping of mitzvahs, there they remember the great love that's greater than wine, Umishar Ahavatamoto, and the correctness of their love of him. One of the great people, giants of 60 years ago, well, somebody talked about him once, Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal, who wrote the Sefer Ein Rabbonim Smecha, the mother of the children that is full of joy. He wrote it in Budapest in 1943. The simple story, of course, is that he writes in this sefer that is one of the greatest documents to have emerged from the Second World War, that he was always opposed to anything that had anything to do with Zionism. He was opposed to the whole idea of living in Eretz Yisrael, and then the service of the Second World War began. And it's unbelievable. He just decided he has to think it all through again. And he came to what for him at that point was, and certainly for all of the people who surrounded him in Hungary, he came to the revolutionary conclusion. I mean, he goes quite a step further, that all of the tzaddis are because we rejected Eretz Yisrael. And he says, the time has come, we all have to go back. We all have to go back. So he says a number of things, some beautiful ideas on this pasuk and the next pasuk. First, what he says is that, you have to remember that it is somebody sitting in Budapest in 43. By the way, he's going to be killed by the Nazis in 44. was not in a pantry that he shot in on the street. The whole story would be gone to that. Rabbi Yisrael Shlomo Teichtal, Hashem Yikom Damo. Teichtal. It's available in a beautiful translation in English. It's a classic document, one of the great documents to emerge from the Shoah. So he says that the Rishon understands that there are times at which God sends us messages. You have to know how to pick up on the message. Not everybody, you know, sometimes you listen to the message and it's a little bit garbled. You don't get the message. It says there are messages. You interpret it wrong, or you're not ready to hear it. If you're not ready to hear it, you may see the message in a completely warped way. So he says, and he bases it on a medrash. The medrash Shir HaShirim, I mean, one of these days I hope there will be a shir in which I will try to take you into the depth of the medrash. It's amazing, the medrash Shir HaShirim. But there are a whole bunch of midrashim, and Moshcheni Achanecha Norucha. Moshcheni, draw me. So the medrash at one point reads Moshcheni as Mishkoni, my Mishkan. I told you to build my Mishkan, and you know how Jews responded? Acharecha Narutza, we're going to follow you, we're going to build that Mishkan.
I like that.
When they called for donations to the Mishkan, Klal Yisrael came with an outpouring of donations to the Mishkan. There's another reading in the Medrash on Moshcheni. In what two ways? Ma Shchenai, oi, my neighbors, or Mi Shchenai, from my neighbors, my Shachain. And he says that there are times when the Rebbeinu sends a message when the Shchenim start making tzavas for us, when the Shchenim begin to persecute, when the Shchenim begin with pogroms. You know what the Rebbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael? It's time for Acharecha Norutza. Let's follow you. And he describes a few times, he says, can you imagine right now, remember, it's 43. Mm-hmm. If we could get to Eretz Yisrael, wouldn't everybody run? Doesn't everybody want to go? Since we have to learn from the message was clear. Not everybody saw it, but the message was clear. Moshcheni, Mishchenai, when my neighbors make it extremely difficult for me to live where I've been living for 1,000 years, you know what it's telling us? It's telling us it's time for Acharecha Merutza. We have to run and follow you. And the Medrash says it clearly. Listen to the words of the Medrash. I have it here. Mima shegeriso bi shenai haraim, because you sent my bad neighbors. You incited my bad neighbors against me. The Omer Rabbi Avon. Rabbi Avon says this is a mashal. A king who got angry with his wife and he incited the neighbors against her. And she started to cry out, Adoni HaMelech, my master the king, Hoshieni, save me. Kach Yisrael, so too Yisrael. And Shoten, and Sefer Shoten, Tzidoni Mamolek, Lachatzu Eschem, When your neighbors all around began to oppress you, then you cried unto me, and I saved you from their hands. Moshcheni, because of my shchenim. It's a message. You have to know how to pick up on the message. And then there's another beautiful part. Oh, this is a classic, a great classic from Rav Simcha Binim Mipshischa. When I was growing up, his name wasn't Simcha Binim. You know, these modern day scholars talk about Simcha Binim Mipshischa. I was raised in a Galiciana home, and his name was Rav Simcha Binim. Rav Simcha Binim was one of the early first generations of Hasidim. I can give you even a time frame. He was born in 1765 and died in 1827. He's such a beautiful word. In Talmud, Halacha says there are different ways of acquiring possession of something. A movable object, you give money, I give money, I take it, I earn it. You buy a field. So there, the Gemara says, you know, you can take possession by virtue of a document, you know, the party of the first part has sold to the party of the second part, a complete document outlining the area of the land or the house, whatever it is. How do you acquire an animal? The Gemara says you acquire an animal by menshicha. That's the name of the form of acquisition, meshicha. Meshicha means to draw the animal to you. By the way, you have to understand that in Hebrew today also, the word meshicha means the chemical feeling between chosen and kala, men and women, something that draws to one another, which is also similar to the meaning in the pasuk over here, to be drawn to God. The Gemara says there are two ways to accomplish the acquisition of an animal, livestock, through meshicha. One is korei, v'hibo'elav, you call to the animal and it comes to you. There's a second way. The mother says, he kisha b'makel. You hit the animal with a stick and it starts moving. Now, the idea of it all is I show my possession, that I have taken ownership by virtue of the fact that the animal moves because of me. This is a legal form of taking possession of an animal. It's called meshicha. Meshicha. I draw the animal. It moves because of me. That shows, demonstrates that I'm now the owner. Of course, I have to pay the former owner. I have to pay him. Of course, I'm going to pay him. But now, once I've paid him, how do I demonstrate to the world that this is my animal? By drawing it to me. Meshicha. So there are two kinds, he said. One is that I say, come out here, Poochie, come here. And the animal comes toward me. Or I hit the animal in the back, you know, and then with a stick and it moves. So Simcha Binim said the following. There's a difference between these two. The difference between these two is that when you call to the animal and it comes, the new owner is standing ahead of the animal, calls back to the animal, the animal goes toward it. If the acquisition is going to be by virtue of hitting it, you know, then the owner stands in the back, gives it a zets, and it starts going. So the Simcha Binim said, Mashcheni, God draw me unto you, acquire me again, but there are two ways. One would be that you beat us and then we run. Then you're standing behind us. But you know what we want? We want that you should be standing in front of us and you should call to us. And achareha meruza. And we're going to run after you. If you're going to acquire us, not through suffering, not through beating the animal and standing behind us. You stand at the head. You call us with love and we're going to come. What a beautiful verse. Mashreini, draw me, acquire me, take possession of thee again in a way that acharecha norutza, we will follow you. You're at the head and we'll follow you. You're on your way there to Israel, we're going with you. We're right behind you. Okay. Now, Starkey, we did that pasuk. We did four pesukim. Ah, pasuk five. Shchora ani v'nava. Now, I don't know. You know, maybe the English translation here, and I have a son, Sino, with me. The English translation here may have been good, you know, 100 years ago. I am black, but comely. That's not the way we say it in our, I am black, but beautiful. Shchora ani, I am black, v'nava, but beautiful. B'not Yerushalayim, you daughters of Yerushalayim. It's, who? In Sukkim, in Sukk, what?
Excuse me, there's a mistranslation because v'nava means and beautiful, not but beautiful. I am black and beautiful.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I stand corrected.
Thank you, by the way. All the English translations.
Yeah, you're right. I was swept away by black but beautiful. No, Queenie is absolutely right, and that's of course going to have to be the shot in the process. I am black and beautiful. I am black and beautiful. That's why.
Even it's not what they say today, black too.
Yes, I understand. Right? Now, Benot Yerushalayim, Rashi is going to explain who are the Benot Yerushalayim. It's going to surprise you. It's another term to describe the nations of the world. And Rashi will explain why are the nations of the world called Benot Yerushalayim, because in Tanakh there are a number of places where satellite cities around a major metropolis are called Banot. You have it in Shofim, in Yoshua, in Shofim. Ekron ubenoteha, Gat ubenoteha, Avak ubenoteha. The daughter cities are the cities that surround the major metropolis. So he says, well, said Lavaros, he says, in time to come, the great metropolis of the world is going to be a Yerushalayim. And who will be around? The satellites are going to be the nations of the world. Each one of them will want to have some kind of presence. In other words, all of them who took their embassies out of here over the last 40 years, will be looking, you understand, for a lobby in Har Nof to have their embassy. Yes.
Is there a difference why they use the shofar here and like in last week's Pasha, they use the kushit, what you use to put it on the
I don't know. It's too. Why here it's Shchora and there when they refer to Moshe's wife as a Isha Kushit, I say, look, I don't know, because I imagine Kushit is a description of a woman. A black woman is a Kushit, this is the description of Tzipora, and of course Chazal say that Tzipora, her beauty was as unusual as the blackness. But over here she's just saying, you know what? No, I'm sorry. I take it back. You're going to see the answer right away. You're going to see the answer right away. Oh, do I have an answer to your question? I shouldn't let myself, just be thrown off guard for a moment and think. The whole meaning of the pasuk is going to be that the girl, by the way, the girl is the one who has been speaking in pasuk bet, gimel, dalet, hey, and vav. She's talking. Now, she's not talking to God, but she's talking to the nations of the world. Shchora ani v'nava. I am black and beautiful. And Chazal are going to explain, Rashi will explain, and you're going to see it in the pasuk. I'm black, but my blackness is not natural to me. You know why I'm black? Because the sun has burned me. I've been out there in the world burned by the sun. All I have to do is stand in the shade, and I'll be my natural color all over again. Cushit is one where the blackness always remains. Couldn't have used that word at all. The whole purpose over here is that it's something temporary and something passive. Watch, look at the pasuk. Shchora, I mean another. I am black and beautiful, daughters of Yerushalayim. Not because the goyim are looking at Klal Yisrael in their exile and in tzar, it's like, hey, your God has forsaken you. Ke'ohalei Kedar, like the tents of Kedar. The tents of Kedar, we see them all the time. Kedar is Arabia. You drive to the Yam HaMelech, alright? You see the black Bedouin tents. Those tents are black for a lot of reasons. Very often it's made from goatskin that is black. Or being out of the rain and the elements for years, they become black. But you should know, though they are like the tents of Kedar, they are Kiriot Shlomo. They are like the curtains of Shlomo. Can you imagine beautiful white, you know, these white transparent see-through curtains, what do you call them? Shears. Take the look at the two of them together.
Shears.
This is black with schmutz, and the other is so crystal, Mr. Clean white. So she says, I'm black, but I'm beautiful. I may look to you now like the tents of Kedar, but I can easily be cleansed and become like the curtains of Shlomo. Take a look at Rashi. Shchora nivanova. Atem da yokai. You, my friends, al akel beinechem. Don't consider me light in your eyes. Afmozavani ishi. Even though my husband has forsaken me, mitnei shacharut should be because of the blackness that is in me. Kishkorani anideshes ifat hashemesh. I am black only because the sun has tanned me. The noav ani, but I am beautiful. Bechituch eivorim noyim. The way my body is made. Imani shchora ki ole Kedar, even though I be black now like the tents of Kedar, hamashchidim that become black with their shomim because of the rain, shem prusim tomid bamidboros, because they're always spread out there in the desert, we see it all the time. Kala ani liv kabez, but I can easily be clean, lihiyot kebiyot shlomo, to be like the sheer and beautiful tapestries. Ah, that's the word I like. If it's the right word, I don't know. It has to be something very clean. The tapestries of Shlomo. Rabbi Dumizu. Dumizu, have to get the allegory. Omedet Knesset Yisrael Umot. The people of Israel say to the nations of the world, Shchora ani b'maasai. My deeds are black, but Noava ani b'maasai avosai. I am beautiful with the deeds of my fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yankiv, Yosef, Shlomo, Zaydus, and Bubbas. Da'af b'masaya, even my own deeds, I'm not all black. Yesh mehem noim, there are those that are pretty. Im yesh bi avon ha'egel, if on one hand I have the sin of the golden calf, yesh bi kenegdos chus kapolas ha'Torah. On the other hand, I am the one who received Torah, and while all of you nations of the world, Rashi doesn't say it, but I'm saying it for Rashi. When God brought the Torah to all the nations of the world, they rejected him out of hand, but I received Torah. The Kore Lumos, the nations of the world in this pasuk are called Benot Yerushalayim, the daughters of Jerusalem. Al Shem Shehi Asida Leosos Metropolim Lekulam. Yerushalayim is going to be the great metropolis of all nations of the world. Kemo Shem Nivo Yecheskel, as Yecheskel the prophet prophesied, the Natati Etem Loch Lebanot. I will give all of the nations of the world unto you. They are going to be like daughters unto you. So there she says, I'm black and I'm beautiful. Because it's not innate. In other words, what it means to say, even Ayid, this is Nishtaz Ayid, but Kala, easy to be cleansed. There's always that tintel Ayid that remains. and it can come to the surface ultimately and be something of great beauty. So don't you nations of the world think that I have been rejected by God. Oh, no, 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 no. And in a sense, this is really what a message that went out to the nations of the world 59 years ago here. A people that had been a wandering nation for 2,000 years, downtrodden, all of a sudden they rebuild themselves in Eretz Yisrael. This is a powerful message to the world. The world was not happy with that message. They're not happy with it. But we will overcome. All right. Yes? Shlomo here is God. God.
Yeah.
What? To be continued. Watch the next 6 seconds. Well done.